Bob McKenzie in studio. What's up, Bob?
I didn't think you were going to be in today. Remember we had a conversation. Did we not have a conversation?
Yes, we did. If they kept losing, if they lost both games over the weekend.
They lost both games and they got like really cleaned out.
Yep, they did.
You were phony and sick.
I thought about it, but I'm here.
He was joking. He meant tomorrow if they get killed tonight.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but somebody on Twitter actually loaded up the podcast, the Overdrive podcast, on Saturday night. After the game.
Oh, really?
And had it queued up to the exact point where you said, well, that happens. I'm phoning in sick on Monday.
I did not see that. I was probably trying to avoid Twitter on Saturday night. It was poisonous. Like, you've been through this with a bunch of teams throughout the country.
That was really bad.
And pretty ugly.
Like, it's hard to get worse than what you saw Saturday night.
Well, considering they had lost four in a row before that,
yep.
You know, paying lip service, yeah. They lose to their arch rival the night before.
Like, but the game before was a competitive hockey game. You know, they broke down, as they have so often, in the third period, and Marchand, you know, got those two goals, and you know, Morgan Riley on the ice for both of them. I mean, it's not like they were picking on the sixth defenseman on the ice. And I'm not saying he was directly responsible for the second one as much as the first Marchand goal. But, you know, that's a competitive hockey game. Bruins were a good team, even though they were winless in four. And so they came up on the wrong side of it. Fair enough. And they're on a bad streak or whatever. But to go out against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, with no Crosby, no Letang, no Murray.
Yeah, it's like, so you can't very well use the injuries as an example. When you got Pittsburgh's backup goalie, no Crosby, no Letang, no Hornquist.
No Bjugstad.
No
depth.
Yeah, and they've been decimated with injuries even worse than Toronto this year. Evgeny Malkin was out for so long, and Dumoulin was out. It was on and on and on. So you can't use the injury excuse at all. And, you know, you'd like to blame the goaltender, but, I mean, the game was over before he had a chance to get blamed for anything. And it goes back to my original point, was when the Leafs play a back-to-back, if you want to make Hutchison the bogeyman that costs them all these points in back-to-backs, not a chance in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never be convinced of that. And as I said, when they sent him down, I don't know that he's an NHL backup goalie or not, but I can tell you damn sure, after watching him in all those back-to-backs, the team in front of him collapsed, had nothing to do with him.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the theme the past couple of days. It's not so much X's and O's. It's more about just passion, pride, effort, which, you know, I would say it's probably a combination of both.
That's what I was going to say. It's a mix.
It's probably a mix, but that is a true indictment on the team. Like, if they're calling themselves out, like, this isn't the media and the fans
exactly.
Yelling and screaming. You got players on this team saying, you know, we're not even trying hard enough.
But it's interesting when we're talking about player-only meetings. You know, you were in so many of those as a player, you knew what to say. And nothing drove me nuts more than when you'd be in a player-only meeting. And the most unlikely person would say the most unlikely thing. And there'd be silence in the room, and you'd be looking and going, did you read that somewhere? Or did you see that in a movie? Because you are so far away from the person that should actually be saying that right now. And maybe that was the good thing about the player-only meetings, is you could call somebody
out. My philosophy was, if you were playing like garbage, you better watch what you say.
Well, it's exactly right.
And if some guy was just playing like an idiot and would stand up and say, we got to do this, just like you roll your eyes and say, come on.
See, but here's the thing. So, you know, the two leaders on this team are the two guys that apparently went to Babcock after the game, and that was John Tavares and Morgan Riley. You know, and you could never accuse either one of those players ever, in my opinion, of not caring. Like, you know what? Like, Morgan Riley's not had a good start to the season. But I would never accuse Morgan Riley of not caring. Like, he tries hard and the same thing with Tavares. He's like the consummate professional. So, I mean, so what, you know, what's the reason for something like that? Why do you lose your way so badly in a game where you know the stakes? We talked about it, especially after they lost on Friday night, lost four in a row, you know, and you know you got a neophyte goalie that's never played an NHL game before, and he's going to need a little extra support to get through the game, and he gets like less than zero.
So. You know, so the start of the conversation with Babcock and Tavares and Morgan should be saying, hey guys, let's start right here. You two have to play better.
Yep.
Like, you two have to play better. I mean, that's how the conversation has to start.
Yeah. Yeah, like John Tavares...
been mediocre at best.
Well, I mean, it was 16 months ago he fulfilled the prophecy, like the local superstar coming home, the prodigal son, and he had a remarkable season. 47 goals. He was dominant last year. And now he's starting to deal, like, this is the other side of the coin in the city. This is, especially as a captain. Like, you go from prodigal son, can't do anything wrong, to a captain with a lot of pressure on him. And he knows he hasn't played well enough. But, man, he is not. He hasn't shown much.
And that's where the focus should be. And they'd probably be the first to tell you that. But you're, you know, when you look at the Leaf lineup, they've got Hyman. They've got Tavares. Now they got Kapanen on the line instead of Marner. Okay, fair enough. Marner's a big loss. But we just ruled out you can't talk about injuries because other teams have them just as bad, if not worse, than the Toronto Maple Leafs. Come back with your next line. Andreas Janssen, Austin Matthews, William Nylander. That's your top line or your 1A, 1B line, call it whatever you want, fully intact. Now you got problems because of injuries. So now you've got a third line tonight that includes Jason Spezza and Nick Petan, two players who have not been able to secure regular fourth line minutes on the Toronto Maple Leafs because a combination of Timoshov, Shore, Gauthier, and whoever else has played on the fourth line are all perceived to be ahead of Spezza and Petan. Now that's suddenly two-thirds of your third line. So let's not go into this game tonight thinking that, you know, wow, Spezza and Petan, they're not getting the job done. Come on, be realistic.
Yep.
Why was Jason Spezza signed? He was signed to be a fourth line center who fills in up and down the lineup a little bit. And that your fourth line's your fourth line. And we'll get a look at Engvall, who's been very, very good. Sometimes you get a spark from an unlikely source. The Leafs are probably hoping that happens with Engvall tonight. But the realistic thing is he's a fourth line hockey player. So it's on your top two. It's on the Tavares line and it's on the Matthews line to get her going. And
where does the coach come into play for you?
Oh, well, hey, listen, he's the same as everybody else. What we need to see tonight is that the Toronto Maple Leaf players were suitably embarrassed, upset with Saturday's performance, that they're going to come out guns a-blazing tonight and that they're not going to duplicate that. They're not going... I used on Insider Trading and on the Sports Center hit we did. It was one of those games, and you guys played. You didn't, Brian. These two guys...
Thanks, Bob.
These two guys played. You and I, we didn't play.
Right.
But that was a roll-over and play-dead night. That was...
It was embarrassing.
Very early in the hockey game, you were like, oh, man, they got nothing here. They look like... they're quitting. Now, some people would say, well, are they quitting on their coach? And that's the question that's legitimately going to be asked, I guess. And that's one of the answers we'll get tonight. They don't have to win the hockey game tonight. And I'm not suddenly expecting that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to dial in their defensive game and they're going to score 9 and unleash the power play and everything's going to be perfect. But are they going to make an effort? Are they going to step up and play, show some character, show some resilience, and show that they haven't shut it down?
My fear, Bobby, is it's going to be like that for 10 minutes, and then something's going to go in there.
Get a goal scored, and then it's...
then it's just going to be a mess.
Because
they can say, oh, we started on time, we worked hard, and just it didn't work out our way.
Now, Brian and I have never played the game, and I've never hosted a radio show, but now I'm going to officially take over the hosting here.
Bring it, bud.
So you two guys played in the National Hockey League. You must have played for teams where the mindset is so fragile and so screwed up, and the confidence is so low that how does that happen? And when it does, is it an indictment on the coach, or is it just like, you know what? Spit happens. You know, stuff happens.
I have never even heard of, like, not liking a coach, and I didn't really get along with any of the coaches I played for, but I never thought
no
to
way.
Myself, I'm not going to go out there and try because I don't like him. And I think in a situation like this, there's got to be a selfish element where you say to yourself, it is a team sport, but I have to go out there and show everybody that I myself am here to play and I want to make a positive impact. I'm going to finish all my checks. I'm going to do something positive and not make an ass of my. I don't want to be right. one of those guys that's making an ass of themselves in the first period where the coach can put the clip in and say, what the hell are you doing here? But,
well, the problem is if they were to go out and finish all their checks tonight in the first period, you'd say that's totally out of character.
Yeah.
Like, that's out of character for almost every single person.
Hey, well, I'm not expecting
game.
That. We're
no,
just talking
but I'm
about.
I'm saying that is what should happen.
Well, that's the last time I checked, that's a part of hockey, but not for these guys. They don't do that.
Absolutely,
I don't expect that.
Absolutely, it should happen.
But that,
you know,
that's.
We talked about earlier, I said, well, what would happen tonight if Matthews went out in the first period and had like half a dozen hits and was just steamrolling
See,
people?
But you know what? He did that Friday night.
With three.
Yeah, but even so.
That's out of character for him.
But here's the thing. It's great to be out of character, so be in character. What do the Toronto Maple Leafs do really well when things are going well?
Score, skate.
Fly around.
Move the puck.
That's how they're built.
Well,
they're...
I always go to the Adam Foote philosophy, and he always said...
Do what you do.
You pick three things you do well in a critical situation.
I would say pick one.
Yeah, try one.
Yeah.
But he would say, you just do, everybody does three. His thing was he was physical, he killed penalties well, and he took after the top line of the other team. Those were his three things. Maybe leadership, whatever. But he would just focus on that in a big game, and he always said that. Three things, pick them, and do it, and that's it.
See, when I look at the Leafs and where they're at right now, and everything's terrible, and people are saying, well, the team's poorly constructed, it's poorly put together. The team, however it's put together, forget the playoffs and whether it's built for success in the playoffs. What we saw last year, they were a 100-plus point team.
Mm-hmm.
Really good offensive team. Average to below average defensively. Rely heavily on their goaltender to make up for the inadequacies of the bad team defense. I don't just want to put it on the guys on the blue line because the forwards are as responsible as the blue liners are. Play to your strength. Like, there's no reason why their power play should suck. None whatsoever.
None.
They've got fantastic personnel. Fantastic personnel.
Unless they're thinking so much about what they're being told to do on the power play that they're not doing it.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting because they were talking about Tyson Barrie and how to get him going. I'd put him with Morgan Riley in the first power play on the half boards for the one-time shot because they don't have a right-hand one-time shot. Willie Nylander's not a one-timer.
Martin, mind you, they like to play Matthews over there on a strong side.
But they flipped him back now. They had him
right.
They go back and forth, right?
Yeah.
So at least to try and get one guy going and maybe get the power play going too. But Tyson Barrie shoots the puck.
Yep.
Put him in the wheelhouse, shoot the puck with Morgan Riley on the
power
play.
Or, given the fact that the power play has not been great, put Morgan on the second power play and give Barrie a shot on
Switch
the first
side.
One. Just push a button and see what happens.
Well, I think... You know, it's an interesting conversation because I'm looking at this. Mark Masters just highlighting some of the things that Muzzin was saying earlier today. And Jake Muzzin saying, quote, when you have a lot of skilled guys and a team that's skilled, you just rely on skill sometimes and it takes more than that, end quote. Which, I mean, we understand that. But to your point, what does Matthews do best? Score goals. Push play.
William Nylander,
push play.
He is doing that, mind you.
No, he is. Of course he is. But I get the impression, like, if these guys are listening to people on the outside, they're going to be thinking, I got to be on the right side of the puck. I got to defend. I got to throw my body around. I got to get into a scrum tonight. And that is not the way they're built.
No.
That is not them doing what they're best at doing.
Every one of these players knows that in a, like, they've all been in big situations in their minor careers or whatever. They know how to bring a game tonight that means a lot, and it means a lot to their teammates. And if they don't, they're stupid. Like, they're just stupid. Like, tonight, you just have to have your best game and figure out whatever that is. And if they don't understand that, flat out stupid. There's no other way around it.
Well, and if that isn't going to work, then that's going to be on the GM in the end.
Yep.
Like, if these guys played the best way they can possibly play and it still doesn't mean you can win in 2019.
And they still lose 4-1, then it's just maybe it's not good enough.
Right. At some point, you say roster construction, you've gone too far with skill, too far
so
with
then,
pace.
So then how do you explain 100 plus points last year, and
well, Nazem Kadri, Ron Hainsey, Connor Brown,
and undergoing, and going to Game 7 of again against the best team in the Eastern Conference, and having them 3-2,
very different makeup of a team.
Yeah,
you have a really different team here.
Yeah. Yeah, they are much softer this year than they were a year ago.
You know what? Well.
It's not like Ron Hainsey and Connor Brown.
No, but they're different.
No, but Hainsey was a gamer.
Okay, listen, Nazem Kadri's a good hockey player, and everybody talks about abrasive. He was so abrasive that he got suspended in the first round, which contributed, obviously, to him leaving. But that was also a salary cap equation. Because you know what? What I've seen of Kerfoot this year, he plays hard.
Yeah,
he's
pretty good.
He's not a soft player. He's not going to go around and thing. But you know what? In his own way, he between whistles, plays as hard as Nazem Kadri does.
But the roll of the dice was that with this much change, and I know in the salary cap world, teams change. This is a lot of change.
Yeah.
It's a lot of change.
It is.
And you're predicting that the different pieces are going to go together. They're all coming from different places, and you're just right. Predicting that they're all going to fit together.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But, I mean, let's 20-odd games in, you start to lose some of that, you know?
Yeah.
You should.
Like, the placing of value, Nazem Kadri, you know, in terms of the puck in play, he and Kerfoot, probably somewhat similar in terms of the impact that they can have on the game. What I always think of with Kadri that I think is sorely lacking on this team is that he made the other team think he might sucker me here in the scrum.
Quite sure. Yeah.
He might. He might hit me from behind. He might. And they don't have anyone on this team that makes you think like that.
Yeah, but I think it's worth asking the question whether the way the Leafs are constructed is sustainable for deep success in the postseason. But what I can tell you is they should have more than enough speed and skill to have a really good power play, and on most nights, more nights than not, outscore their problems. And if they're not buttoned down defensively and they're not buying into what Babcock's selling defensively, fair enough. That won't be a sustainable thing to go deep into the playoffs. But there's, even with the injuries, there should be plenty enough offense. If Tavares is on his game and Matthews is on his game and Nylander's on his game and that
Riley
those,
and
those top
jumping.
Two lines and they're getting some offense from the blue line and Morgan Riley's having a 50-point year and they bring a Tyson Barrie guy. See, the reason that the Kadri for Kerfoot exchange I thought would really pay big dividends was because even if Kerfoot's only 60 or 70% of what Kadri is on any level, offensively or feistiness or any of those things, you're adding a 50-point defenseman who brings an offensive element to the game that would maybe be above and beyond what you were getting from Jake Gardner.
Yeah.
And right now, the sum total of Tyson Barrie's contribution to the Leafs has been a negative. He hasn't. Not only is he just being neutral, it's been negative. He's got an identity crisis. He's got a crisis of confidence now.
Yeah,
and he was, you know, and that's got to be on him. But it's also on the coaching staff. It's also on the team in terms of utilization or whatever. Because for whatever reason, and whether it's justified or not, I got to think that Tyson Barrie feels like I've been marginalized. I had 25 of 59 points on the power play last year.
And this power play stinks right now, and they still won't put him on the top
unit. And I'm hardly playing on the power play, and now he's on the third pair, and he just looks lost out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's got to, you know, he's got to look in the mirror and say, that's on me, but, I mean, you have to ask questions. Have they utilized him in the right fashion and given him a chance for success?
You know, I'm trying to think of other guys. You think of Eric Staal going to the Rangers? Just flat out didn't fit.
Yep.
Critical time of year, late, like, didn't fit. And everybody thought, okay, he's done. And then he gets resurrected.
So now the question is,
it just doesn't work.
You know, we heard reports that, you know, teams are calling about Barrie and whatever. So I don't know what Barry's response is going to be to this. Is it going to be, I'm going to dig in? The response that Babcock will be looking for from him would be dig in and, you know, get her done. You know, find a way to get it done. Overcome whatever hole you're in. And be on your way. Or is it, you know what? The wheels are falling off around here. I'm, for whatever reason,
check, please.
In the disaster zone. It's a contract year for me. Get me the hell out of here. Like, I didn't sign up for this.
Get me back to the West.
Because, you know, hockey's a team game, but those of us that didn't play, these guys did play. You want it to be a team game. But let's not kid anybody.
You got to get paid.
You're in a contract year. You had big numbers last year that if it had been your contract year, you would have hit a home run on July 1. And now you're playing for a team that the wheels are falling off of, and you're like the wheel that's tumbling down the highway the fastest in terms of being off the thing. And you're thinking to yourself, July 1, I'm going to get nothing.
Well, I would argue he has, if he can stick this out and salvage a season, it'll make him that much more valuable.
Agreed.
Right? His character will come out. He fought through it. Mm-hmm. And in Toronto, you're going to get talked about that much more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's on the opposite side of it right now. He's getting burned. But, man, he runs off 10 or 15 really quality games, he'll be the talk of the town again.
Absolutely.
And that can't hurt your case, I would think.
These next three games are, I think, really important. We keep moving the target around.
Oh, my God.
It was American Thanksgiving, and then I bumped it back to December 3rd or 4th. And now I'm going, you know what? Tonight's really important to see whether these guys are quitting or not, because they look like they quit on Saturday night. I've got to believe that they're going to come with a representative effort in this game tonight, and that this game against, I was going to say, even if they don't win, they need to show that they're playing with some heart and some emotion and some character.
They need to win.
And that, but over the next three games, they need to get some wins. And the next three games are all on the road. Matthews has got to show that he can score somewhere other than Scotiabank Arena.
Tough games too, Bobby.
Yeah.
Tough games. Like, I looked at this part of the schedule,
absolutely.
13 of 16 on the road starting on November 10th. 13 of 16.
Oh, yeah.
And they were saying, hey, we can't wait to get out in the road. I'm going to be careful what you ask for, boys.
Yeah, you're going to be out there for a long time.
Yep.
All right, Bob, we'll see you on the panel tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Pooley, you and the O-Dog will be on the panel as well tonight with James Duthie.